Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Nava, my partner Jesse Romero, he is out of town. He's doing some apostolic work over in Baltimore. And today I have a special guest, Sister Marie Augustine. Once again, if you remember last week, we had her on. Welcome to the show again, Sister. Thank you for being with us. Oops.
My pleasure.
Oh, great. Yeah, we had a lot of good comments and a lot of people that wanted to hear more from you. So I thought it would be wise to invite you back. And just so our audience, if they weren't listening last week, you're with, see if I get this correct, the Servants of Mary, also known as the Servites of the Seven Sorrows. Is that the official order? Okay. Wonderful. Sister, today we're going to be talking about the Seven Sorrows of Mary, and you're going to be enlightening us about this devotion, because, quite frankly, it has kind of been lost over the last many years, and it's been around for some time. And I have to admit that I didn't have a devotion to it. Yesterday, I joined in on your Zoom link, your prayer time at 11 o'clock, and I'll put that out to the viewers again to see if they want to join in. At 11 o'clock, Sister prays the Rosary of the Seven Sorrows, and you can join in and pray Monday through Friday at 11 to 11:30, and Friday nights also at 7, I believe. So wonderful, and it's great to see you, Sister, in your habit. Our engineer commented on that, and it's a beautiful sight in today's modern world. So thank you so much. Sister, before we get started, I just wanted to say a prayer for Father Reginald DeFore, a priest friend of yours who passed away just yesterday, right, at 4 in the morning?
Yes.
And you mentioned to me that you were caring for him for 6 months when he took ill. And he was a Holy Ghost father, and he—that's the same order of as Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre. In fact, he met him years ago, and I think one of the comments he had was that he relates that he was struck. What was struck most about him was Archbishop Lefebvre was that he was very soft spoken and very humble. They're 87 years old, and if you could just lead us in a prayer, and our audience can and join in this prayer for the repose of his soul.
Let's pray his favorite prayer.
Okay.
Yeah. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Amen. Okay, Sister. So tell us about this devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows. Maybe how far does it go back? And
Okay. It actually goes back to the 13th century, 1233. There was a group of seven men who were quite wealthy in Italy, and they loved our Lord and they loved our Lady, and they decided to retire from the world on their own, a loose organization of men, which we wouldn't have such piety nowadays, but excuse me, they retired together and to pray. And to fast, do penance, and one day they fell asleep. This is their words. They fell asleep. Well, we consider that an ecstasy. Mm. And they all woke up at the same time, and what they had in their hands were two things. They had a black scapular that you see me wearing, and they had the Rosary of Seven Sorrows. I don't know. Can you see this?
Yes.
Okay. And during this sleep that they had a visit from the Blessed Mother herself. And they all had the same story. They all recounted the same thing. Our Lady came to them individually and together. And she told them that she is pleased with their prayers. Her son is pleased with their prayers and their sacrifices. And she wished that they propagate her seven main sorrows. And she had many, many sorrows. Her entire life was a sorrow. But the seven main sorrows, and so that's what we do. We, like you said, we have the Zoom every morning at 11 o'clock. And we pray the seven sorrows. And then, of course, immediately thereafter, we pray the litany of the seven sorrows,
yes,
which was written by Pope Pius VII during his second imprisonment by Napoleon.
Yes.
And it's beautiful. It's just an absolute beautiful litany of it, really speaking to the heart and speaking to her sorrows. And she is a vial of suffering. That's one of the titles that he gives her, is vial. She is, if you can just think of a vial of anything, you know, usually it's medicine or whatnot, but she just fills it up with her sorrow, you know? And so we do that. And also recently, just last Friday night, we started the very first Friday night. And that's because we belong to different rosary Zooms, just the Dominican rosary.
Okay.
And throughout the week, we have one on Sunday night. Someone does the 15 decades, Tuesday night, Wednesday, we do a holy hour of reparation. Thursday, we didn't have anything for Friday, Saturday, or Monday. And so we were discussing, gee, maybe we should do something on Friday night because people are working during the day, so they can't join us at 11 a.m. California time. And so we couldn't make up our minds. We were just praying. And then a former Servite priest, diocesan priest, he's retired now, but he was once a Servite. Mm-hmm. And he came to visit, as a lot of traveling priests do, because we have a chapel here and we allow them to say mass and take a weekend respite or whatever they want.
Yes.
And so he said, you know, I've got something that I'd like to give you. Well, lo and behold, it was, I think I just lost you here.
No, we could hear you.
You can.
Yeah, we could still hear you. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's what's going to have to be then, I guess, because I just lost the
picture.
The picture. Okay. Oh, there I am. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So he gave us this, and it's a devotions in honor of Our Lady of Sorrows, the Rosary of the Seven Dolors, and it's a pre-Vatican II publication. And so we said, golly, this is, you know, we started reading it and this is wonderful. And then at the very end, it talks about the indulgences that are to be had just by praying the seven sorrows. One of them, which is what was the determining factor, is if you pray this Dolor Rosary in honor of the holy souls in purgatory on a Friday night, under the usual conditions and blessing, graces and blessings of Holy Mother Church, one can gain a plenary indulgence. That means every Friday night, you pray the seven sorrows for the holy souls in purgatory, 8 days before, 8 days after confession, communion, every week you can get a plenary indulgence.
Amazing. Yes. And we're in the month of the Holy Soul. So
it's absolutely. So that's why we said, oh, this is an answer to our prayers. And we have to remember that God speaks to us through his priests.
Yes. Yes.
Well, this priest came and he said, oh, yes, the Holy Souls do it on Friday nights. This is great. This is wonderful. And we said, well, this is the answer. Our Lady wants us to add the seven sorrows on Friday night. So we did.
Very good. Yeah, Sister, will you tell us about the seven promises that are attached to a devotion to the sorrows, the
I don't have them right in front of me. And I don't know if I have them memorized.
Oh, that's okay. I have them here, so I'll just maybe I'll if you, want to comment, ahead. You want to comment on any of these. Number one is she says, "I will grant peace to their families." Number two,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can stop right there. I can't even count how many people we've only been doing the Zoom since January. So January, so 10 months. How many people have told me that their entire lives have changed for the better? And they didn't realize it right away. But in looking back, they think, oh my goodness, you know, all these, you know, I'm not arguing as much. There's not so much friction. You know, the children are behaving better, you know. And anytime that happens, boy, there's peace in the family right there.
Yes.
And it's all because you start praying the seven sorrows. And here's the thing. She doesn't ask for much.
No.
Our mother is truly a wonderful mother. She doesn't, you know, in any family, dad is the one that says, here's the bar. You're all going to meet the bar, if not succeeding it. And the bar looks like it's way up here.
Yeah.
But mother is there to say, come on, I'll give you a boost.
Come on, I'll help you.
That's and by the time daddy gets home, it'll be done. Come on, I'll help you.
There you go.
And that's what she does.
All right, sister, let's hold up that. We'll come back on the other side of the break and finish up on the seven promises of our.
Let me get those promises.
That's right.
So I can read them along with you.
Okay.
We'll be there's right quite there. There's quite a few.
Jesus 911.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, I am back. A one-man car, although we have a ride-along today. Sister Marie Augustine is sitting up front. She's not in the back seat, as most ride-alongs would be, but she's up front with us, and Jesse's out of town today, but we are talking to her about the seven sorrows of our Blessed Virgin Mary.
Right.
And, you know, it's a devotion that somehow has fallen by the wayside in recent generations. And as she mentioned in the first segment, how far back it goes. And it really, to be honest, it actually sounds brutally painful when you talk about devotion to the seven sorrows. And, you know, like, who wants to be devoted to sorrow? Who wants to focus on being heavy-hearted? But I'll tell you, I was so moved by that, by praying with you yesterday, sister, and I had never prayed in a group, the seven sorrows, and I prayed it by myself, but it was very moving, and I think I'm going to continue it. So,
wonderful.
Thank you so much. And before, on the other side of the break, we were talking about the seven promises that Our Lady has given us. And the devotion, I believe it was passed on by St. Bridget of Sweden.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, she was huge. And so the second promise was they will be enlightened about the divine mysteries.
Right. You know, have you ever just wondered about certain things on your own, you know, and there's no answer because you've not been taught, you don't know where to look or whatever.
Yes.
And after you begin praying the seven sorrows, that question will be answered at some time. A book would be put in front of you, and you'll, you know, like I like to say, our guardian angel likes to prick our conscience and say, hey, go look at that book over there. Get that book off that library shelf. And so you wander over here and you get it. And then you read the book and then you think, wow, you know, a long time ago, I was wondering about this. And we don't really, because the Blessed Mother doesn't jump out and say, ha, ha, that's me.
Yeah.
You know, I did that for you. but then you realize later on, wow, that came after, you know, I started praying the seven sorrows. I was enlightened to that question that I had. So yeah, that's, and that draws us closer. That's all part of the work of the Holy Ghost, which is her divine spouse.
Right. And Father Chad Ripperger comments on this in his, He has a talk on YouTube about Our Lady's Seven Sorrows, and it's quite good. And
it's fabulous. Yeah. It really and truly is. And everyone should go and listen to it.
Yes. And he talks about this, that's you go to Our Lady's Sorrows to have you enlightened about some of these mysteries that you may have been questioned or you want to delve deeper into. The third promise is, I will console them in their pains and I will accompany them in their work.
Right. In everything that you do, Our Blessed Mother will be there with you, whether it's, you know, homeschooling your children.
Yes.
Or, you know, working outside the home, you know. And we have one man who is a frequent flyer with us. He he works out, you know, traveling from home to home doing his job. And every once in a while, I'll see him pop on to pray, you know, with us. And it has changed his life and his family, you know, and he knows that what he's doing, Our Lady is there guiding his hands, you know, and just maybe people won't understand that or don't get it that, well, why do I need Our Lady to help me with my work? Well, number one, she would preserve you from an accident that you might otherwise fall, you know, victim to if she were not there. She really and truly is with us all the time. And she works with us, you know, she guides our hands. We make vestments for priests and other altar paraments. And before we sew anything, we ask Our Lady to guide our hands so that we can confect a garment or a parament worthy of the altar, worthy of her son. And we have tackled some projects that I think afterward, you know, I know my ability and it does not extend that far.
You know,
that surprised me. It shouldn't have, because I didn't do it. Somebody was guiding my hands, you know.
Amen.
But yeah, that happens.
That I can totally relate to this, because in my line of work, there wasn't a day that went by that I wasn't praying to Our Lady and St. Michael for protection. And especially when we're kicking doors and, you know, serving search warrants, and we did a lot of them. So she was there for us. I wouldn't go out of the house without my brown scapular. I'd rather go without my bulletproof vest than without my brown scapular.
Right. Absolutely.
Because they could kill the body, but they can't kill the soul. So the fourth promise is, I will give them as much as they ask for, as long as it does not oppose the adorable will of my divine son or the sanctification of their souls.
Isn't that fabulous? Mm. That is really something. And Father Ripperger talks about this.
Yes.
And, you know, and he uses the title to invoke Our Lady of Sorrows, during exorcisms.
Yes.
He prays the seven sorrows daily. He invokes her assistance. She is most, most powerful against the devil. And truly, truly, unless it's going to ruin your soul, you could ask to win the lottery, but more than likely, having all that money is going to, you know, put you on vacation and not go to mass, right? You're going to almost immediately slip away from your prayer life because you've got money to spend. But as long as it's you're not asking something that's going to ruin your soul, she'll give it to you.
Yes. And that's wonderful. Yeah. And Father Ripperger and many other exorcists, who propagate the devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows, they say that, according to them, the two titles that have the greatest effect on the demons during exorcisms are Our Lady of Sorrows and Virgin Most Powerful.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why Terry and Jesse named this radio show Virgin Most Powerful. Right.
I'd like to mention something here specifically about this, this promise. We have great faith in it. Right now we're in a tough legal battle. And we're confident that we will be victorious. And we're just waiting for Our Lady to work through, you know, a Catholic benefactor to help us out. She has always helped us out. We, you know, we had problems with the car. We needed a part that was just under $500 just for the part. And excuse me. It came out of nowhere. It just came out of nowhere that, you know, somebody said, well, I think I can try to find you one, you know, and then, you know, it's like, well, I found it's half price and I can get you for this. Can you afford that? And then the next text message was, oh, never mind. I think I can do that for you. And I can install it and I can, you know,
yeah.
It just unbelievable. So we believe that she will, you know, she will be victorious because the convent is actually named, you know, Mater Dolorosa. And so it is her convent. She is our Reverend Mother. You know, she's our abbess. And, you know, we'll be, we just need to have someone help us with the lawyer fees because they're getting kind of steep,
okay.
You know.
Okay.
Excuse me.
For the end of the show, we'll put out where people, if they would like to donate, they can
right.
donate too. So the sixth promise is going to be, I will visibly help them at the moment of their death.
Yes.
They will see the face of their mother. Wow. That's
I have seen that happen. I have seen that happen. We sit with the sick and the dying, and we mm-hmm. prepare them for the last sacraments of the church. And you know, since Vatican II, there seems to be this idea that, well, you don't, if you get to a certain age, I don't know what that age is, but if you get to a certain age, you don't need to go to Mass anymore. Mm-hmm. You don't need the sacraments anymore. One woman, she was in her 50s, I think, and she said to me, well, I'm too old to sin. And
wow.
She lives here in Los Angeles with me. So I said, well, you drive, don't you? Yeah, I do. Yeah. I said, well, in Los Angeles, we're all like this, you know, driving sometimes because of the crazy people out there. And sometimes we're the crazy people.
Yes. Yeah. When I get on the freeway, I say, Lord, protect me from
other
drivers and protect other drivers from me, you know.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And that is when Satan is going to attack us the most, at the hour of our death. He's going to try to bring us into despair.
That's
so
right.
We could lose heaven and wow, to have our Blessed Mother there praying for you is amazing. And my mother was very devoted to the rosary, and there's promises attached to the rosary. And she would routinely pray, you know, the 15 decades. And so as she was dying, she had Alzheimer's, and this was a couple of years ago. The priest, her local priest, was supposed to come the next day. She was already at home in hospice. And he said his schedule freed up and he just showed up that day and he gave her, you know, the anointing and she actually said some prayers of the rosary with him. And she, the Chapel of Divine Mercy. And so she said that and she closed her eyes and she died in peace. And you know, she had the priest there. She was not going to be denied the sacraments before her death. It was amazing.
That's how Our Lady is. And she is called by St. Alphonsus as the mother of the dying. And she is.
Yes.
And you are devoted to her during your life. She will be devoted to you during your death.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that a miracle that the priest was coming a day early for your mother?
Yes, it was. It was.
So, and the day that she passed. So absolutely. You know, our Blessed Mother, she moves heaven and earth.
Yes. Yeah.
For her devoted children.
It's beautiful to have an advocate. You know, I mean, we would go to our mom to run interference with our dad. You know, the dad was
absolutely
the dad was the disciplinarian, but you know, don't be mistaken, my mom could dish it out too. The seventh promise is, I have obtained from my divine son that those who propagate this devotion to my tears and dolors will be taken directly from this earthly life to eternal happiness, since all their sins will be forgiven and my son and I will be their eternal consolation and joy. And, you know, we're coming up on the next break, but I would just say here, you don't have to settle for purgatory, people. You, you, you want to attain, you want to go to heaven. There's no need, you know, you shouldn't want to say, hey, I'm just happy if I get to purgatory.
Oh,
no. Right. All right. We'll be right back on the other side of the break. Don't change that dial. You're listening to Jesus 911.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are back. I have special guest, Sister Marie Augustine of our Servants of Mary of the Seven Sorrows. And we're going over the devotion to the Seven Sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And we just went through the seven promises. Sister, do you want to talk about go over what the different sorrows are, or what would you like to?
Okay. The first sorrow, now keep in mind there were many, but the main seven that she wants devotion to, I'll speak to all the mothers out there. When you first give birth to your child, you immediately forget about the labor.
Yeah.
You are so overjoyed, seventh heaven, right? You're overjoyed because you've brought this child that you've carried for 9 months into the world, and everything seems to be forgotten. There's nothing but happiness, joy. And that lasts for a while, for a long while. You take your child home if you have your child in the hospital, and you begin to nurture the child or whatever. Okay. Our Lady gave birth to our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the Feast of the Purification, she takes our Lord with Saint Joseph and her take him to the temple and present him. And she hears the prophecy of Simeon. And she says to Sister Mary Agreda, and I think also St. Bridget. Forgive me if I have names wrong.
That's okay.
She said, I lost all my joy when I heard that first sorrow.
Mm.
When I heard the sorrow, she didn't say first. And he said, a sword shall pierce your heart too. And that he will be, you know, rise and fall. And from that moment on, if you can just imagine all the joy that you have from giving birth to this beautiful child, and actually God incarnate, she was holding her creator in her arms. And all of that joy was completely gone. And what beheld her constantly until she left this earth was nothing but this gloom, this sorrow that she was going to lose her son. She didn't know exactly when. That wasn't manifested to her until, you know, much later. But the wedding feast of Cana, she still didn't know the exact day, but he told her, okay, this is up to you. It's your will. You want to start now? Then we can, you know, my ministry will start now, and you know how it's going to end. But she lost all of her joy. So just imagine knowing, when you give birth to this child, this beautiful baby, and then maybe at the baptism, what we would, you know, a similar rite, and all of a sudden you realize that this doom and gloom is going to befall you, and you don't know when. It could be when he's 10, it could be when he's 18, 20, you know, you didn't know it was going to be when he's 33, right?
Yeah.
So that was constantly before her. So, you know, and then of course the sadness, you know, after he died. Excuse me, after he died, it was a different sadness, right? But she lost all her joy.
Yes. And the second prophecy, or excuse me, the second sorrow is the flight into Egypt.
Right. Now imagine,
oh boy.
Now she went, this is out of the City of God. She went with Saint Joseph to present her son to God in the temple. And Saint Simeon gave her the first sorrow, okay? She had planned on staying there 9 days and doing a 9-day novena, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost times three, you know, for the 9 days. And she was told no by her angel. No, our Lord wants you to go to Egypt now. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, she got up and they went to Egypt. She also planned on going to see her cousin Elizabeth on the way to Egypt. And on the way, her angel said, no, we're not going that way. Our Lord would like you to go this way. So it was a 30-day journey, yes, about 300 miles, arduous, across the desert.
During the winter.
During the winter. Yes. You've got wind and maybe some rain. And you don't have a tent, mm-hmm, to pitch to stay out of the elements, you know. To sit on the donkey and hold the baby. I've held babies. You know, after a while, your back starts to hurt.
Yes.
she revealed that she asked Saint Joseph, can I walk a while? You know, she didn't say, because I'm hurting. No, she just said, you know, can I walk a while? Can I get down and walk a while? He said no, not because he was being mean. He didn't realize that she was in pain and discomfort. And he didn't want her to have to walk in the hot sand, right? And then think about the sand when you're sleeping, taking a few hours rest. You've got sand flies. Who hasn't been bothered by sand flies at the beach every once in a while, right?
Right.
There was all sorts of different elements that she had to, you know. And then when they get there, and then she's there for 7 years, meaning seven is the number of, you know, fulfillment and completion. She was there for 7 years with Saint Joseph. They knew no one. They had no family. They had no friends. They were just incredibly poor, abject poverty, you know. Mm-hmm. And everything they did make by Saint Joseph's efforts, a third of it is what they kept for themselves. And they gave to the church and to the temple, and then they gave to the poor. So abject poverty, and they only kept a third of it.
Wow.
So, yeah. Amazing.
The third prophecy is the loss of Jesus for 3 days. And Father Chad Ripperger, he mentions that that could very well have been her greatest loss, because she and all the other sorrows, Jesus is with her. But
right.
Jesus
isn't, absolutely.
In this one,
There's a fabulous book that he writes from the 18, I think he wrote it in 18, started in 1846 and ended it, I think, in 1852. It took him a long time to write this book. It's called The Foot of the Cross by Father Frederick Faber. I've read it several times. It's wonderful. It's a great reading any time of the year, especially at Lent, though. But he does say that this is probably her greatest sorrow, because she's outside the absence of God. Yes. And he goes on to mention in her humility, which is always there, her charity, which is always there, she came across people that were sick, because she was asking, have you seen my son? Have you seen my son? And she ministered to them, you know. She came across the hungry. Well, she gave them some of their food. She came across someone who was cold. She gave them a blanket. She came across someone who was sick, and she stayed in the house he speaks about one time, he stayed in the house for several hours, perhaps even overnight. The way that I remember it was, when I was reading, I thought, well, she ministered. She stayed up all night long with the sick person.
Wow.
And here she was looking for her son. But this was the immediate care. Perhaps this person was dying. We don't know. And she stayed with this person and tended to him. And this also was revealed, and I don't remember. I could have read it in the City of God, mm-hmm, by Maria Greta. But this was Saint Joseph's passion. Mm. You know, we all have to suffer, right? This is the Valley of Tears. And especially now, this is the year of Saint Joseph,
yes,
our universal protector. But this was his passion. He suffered greatly. You're the man of your household. You are the ultimate, the responsible person. The buck stops with you.
Yeah.
He had such guilt that well, I should have made sure that Jesus was with me or with you, because at 12 years old, you can travel either with the men or with the women.
Okay.
In back in the day. And Our Lady thought that our Lord was with Joseph and the men, and he thought, well, he must be with his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And the guilt that he had for not, all I had to do was go back and just walk back and make sure. And he didn't. And so he was really plagued with this terrible guilt.
And, you know, when Our Lady says to him, Jesus in the temple, you know, your father and I have been worried about you. And he says, didn't you know I need to be about my father's business? And people think that she's berating him, and she's right. Not, right?
No, she's pouring her heart out. She says, my gosh, did you not know? She had been sorrowing,
yes.
You know, and did you not know? You know, I thought maybe you could have put it in my heart. You could have done something to let me know you were okay. I didn't know if I'd never see you again. Perhaps this was going through her mind. Perhaps we don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, she did not know the day of his capture and death, right?
Sure.
So she could have been just like any parent that loses a child in the grocery for 5 minutes. You're immediately panicking. My gosh, you're thinking the worst. Okay. And you start screaming out their name, right? In a panic.
Yeah.
But Our Lady was very, very reserved, the most reserved. And so she didn't, you know, scream like the banshee, like I would. But she was pouring out her heart to him, you know, and he just said, well, this is because he is 12 years old. So what happens now? a young man becomes a man in the Jewish faith. He becomes bar mitzvahed. And so, and now he does the work of God. So he was telling her, well, didn't you know? I mean, I'm 12 years old.
Yeah.
I'm about the work of my father.
Yeah.
You know, so.
That's yeah. Right. And you know, it reminds me back in the day when working, I don't know how many calls we went on, we're missing children. And we had a whole search team out, helicopters up, and the kid has gone and hid from his mom and fallen asleep in the closet or under clothes. And she's traumatized. She can't find her child.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll pick this up on the other side of the break. You're listening to Jesus 911 with Sister Marie Augustine, and we'll be right back.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. And I want to let you know that we have a special guest, Sister Marie Augustine, if you're just tuning in. And we're going over the seven sorrows of our Blessed Virgin Mary. I just want to point out that you want to save the date for this. And you may be going this here, Sister, a mutual friend of ours. Has asked me if we could, promote this. Is it to raise money? It's a sip and shop. Are you going to be there December 4th?
I'm planning on it, God willing.
You are? Okay, good. So apparently they're selling convent crackle, peanut brittle, almond roca, homemade vanilla, and hand-embroidered palls and priest gifts. And so that's going to be December 4th, 2021, from 11 to 6 p.m. 9229 Beach Avenue in Fontana. So that's not far from where I live. Okay, so, and then also tonight, I was also reminded that there is Rosary of Rally of Reparation, and it's going to be at the Alamo Draft House, 700 West 7th Street in Los Angeles, tonight at 6:30. And it's for the blasphemous film Benedetta. It's a pornographic scandalous attack on the Catholic Church. They're doing a rosary rally of reparation tonight at 6:30. So I put that out there for you. Sister, if people wanted to be able to donate to your ministry, how would they go about doing that?
Well, we haven't got the legalities of our 501c3 in place yet.
Okay.
Because it's so expensive, and we've had so many, you know, expenses. So what we have right now is we just have a PayPal account, and under Marie Augustine, and it's FCR. It's no, PayPal won't let me change it to OSM, but years and years ago, when I was a Daughter of Christ the King, I had this PayPal account. And then also we have Marie Augustine 5, which is on our Venmo. Other than that, they can send me an email, and we'll put them in contact with the attorney, and maybe they can make a donation directly to the attorney.
Okay. And that website is, go ahead.
That's romanvestments@gmail.com.
Amen. Okay. Thank you. So, sister, in the last segment that we have, maybe we can get through the last three sorrows. The fifth sorrow is the crucifixion and death of Jesus.
Well, I think we missed the carrying of the cross.
Oh, I'm looking at, you know.
The carrying of the cross.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah, meeting Jesus along the way to Calvary. And I'll try to go fast because this is the last segment.
Yeah.
Just our St. John took Our Lady to meet her son. And this is where they met up under the first fall. Mm. And our Lord was barely recognizable. And this is when her heart just tore open to see him so battered and bruised and bloodied. And one eye was completely swollen shut. And to know that he was the spotless lamb, that he was not guilty. And yet he was under the cross. And this is where they met. So that's the fourth sorrow. And the fifth, of course, is the crucifixion. Okay. And this is where a little miracle takes place. In the city of God, she recounts that it was the custom to really humiliate the person that they were killing. Mm. And so they would strip them completely naked, no clothing whatsoever. And she prayed to God, our Father. She prayed fervently. She never asked for anything. Never did she ask God for anything. She just accepted everything that she was given in life. And she begged him, please do not allow this travesty to occur. Do not allow them to strip him completely naked. Mm. And God granted her that wish, that request, that he was not humiliated in that regard, you know. So, but there were other things. And she does say that on Calvary there, the, you know, our Lord has seven last words.
Yes.
And one of them is, I thirst. Now, thirsting for souls, clearly.
Yes.
But also physical thirst. He hadn't had anything to eat or drink since the night before.
Right.
And his tongue was very swollen, sticking to the roof of his mouth. This is what happens when you're dying of dehydration. And when he looked down at his mother, and she's standing at the foot of the cross, and she said, this is the greatest sorrow that I had on the cross, on Calvary, was because I could not help him. And he was essentially saying, you know, help, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he says, I thirst. And she could not even touch him because that would cause him more pain. And what, you know, so that was a terrible, terrible thing.
The sixth one?
Oh, the sixth sorrow.
The piercing of the side of Jesus?
The piercing of the side. My earliest recognition as a child was the Pietà, or the Pietà.
Yes.
Michelangelo's greatest work, I think. And this is a painting of the Pietà that the mother of a friend of ours did. And
it's beautiful.
And I had no idea that Our Lady was calling me to the servants of Mary when I was 5 years old, but apparently she was. And now that I look back, there's so many incidents where it's the Pietà, it's the Pietà, it's the Pietà, always in my end. And so this really depicts her sorrow. And if anyone's in the Chicago area or traveling through Chicago, I urge you to go to the Basilica of our Lady of Sorrows. And it is absolutely fabulous, magnificent. And they have a very large Pietà over in the side over there. But Our Lady, she asks us to meditate on her sorrows. I just want to read one sentence here out of The Glories of Mary by St. Alphonsus de Liguori. Can you say that? Okay. And this is the piercing of the side of Jesus and his descent from the cross, which is what we meditate on, the sixth sorrow of our Lord. She says, my beloved children, I do not wish you to console me. No, for my soul is no longer susceptible of consolation in this world after the death of my Jesus. If you wish to please me, this is what I ask of you. Behold me and see if there ever has been in the world a grief like mine in seeing him who was all my love torn from me with such cruelty. Yes. So we can't console her, but we can meditate on the Pietà and picture ourselves holding one of our own children, if we don't have children, our parent, holding them in our arms after seeing the cruelty of a lance pierce the heart.
Yes.
You know, and this will definitely, if you just sit someplace and just without praying, just look at this statue or a picture, just look at it, and she will, you know,
yeah,
change your heart. She'll draw you close to her.
Yeah, many times we make the mistake of just doing all the talking, and we just have to listen sometimes, just meditate.
You're right.
And the seventh sorrow is the burial of Jesus.
Burial of Jesus, absolutely. Once again, in the City of God, I know it's a very long four-volume book, but it is well worth your time. Just pick it up and just tell yourself, yes, it's daunting, but I have the rest of my life to read it. And then just read a few pages a day and be surprised how well you get through it. There's so much information there. Our Lady says that she was holding her son, and it was with a certain amount, and I'm going to use this word and don't misconstrue it, but violence. Our Lady uses the word violence. Her son was removed from her arms with violence, not yanking him away in an angry fit, but she was holding him like you would behold your own child. And then someone is coaxing you. I need him now. We need to go.
Yes.
We need to prepare the body. We've got fresh linens here. So on Calvary, they did the best job they could with anointing him with the myrrh and wrapping him with the fresh linen. And then they had a most sorrowful procession. And you see, this is why there are so many graces attached to the Eucharistic procession, because the Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and King Jesus Christ. And it is a reenactment of the procession that took place from Calvary to the sepulcher. And it was mournful and it was sorrowful and tearful and quiet. And that's how our Eucharistic processions should be.
Yes. Amen, sister. In the last remaining minute or so that we have left, do you happen to have the link for if people want to join you onto the chaplet or the rosary of the seven sorrows? I don't seem to have it right in front of me. Or the Zoom link so they can check in. If
I can get that to you.
Okay. You know what? I might have.
I don't have it at my fingertips right now.
Yeah, I think I have it here. So if you want to join in with Sister today at 11, and I'm going to try to join in. I'm going to see my father, and I'd like to have him join in with us. So it's going to be at 11 o'clock. The meeting ID for Zoom, if you are familiar with Zoom, the meeting ID is 576-417-6539. That's 576-417-6539. And the passcode is 101917, 101917. So We'd love to see you.
We have people from the East Coast. It's 2 o'clock their time. We have people in Illinois. It's 1 o'clock their time and 11 o'clock here on the West Coast. And don't forget, Friday nights, if you can't do it during the day, Friday night, 7 p.m. Pacific time, and the plenary indulgence for praying for the holy souls.
Thank you so much, sister, for being with us. This was so good, so enriching. We'd love to have you again another time. So thank you so much.
God bless you and Mary keep you.
Amen. Thank you, sister. You're listening to Jesus 911. Had a lot of information today and really good stuff. So we just wanted to promote the rosary, the Lady of Seven Sorrows. And stay tuned for Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Mashuda from the Midwest Command Center. We are 10-7. We are out. EOW. And watch. Take care. God bless you.